don't know about these readings. It's not a great fall so far, I gotta tell ya. It's really not a good day for Israelites, nor vegetarians. But we welcome all of you, no matter who you are, no matter whether you eat meat or not. And it's not really a good day for those of us who are unable to forgive. At least it seems that way at first. It's interesting, isn't it, that when we try to get a point across, we use many different tactics and techniques. You've probably known people who, when they decide that you should understand what they are saying, they yell at you. I don't know how that works for you. It doesn't work well for me. I definitely don't listen at that point. There are the more dangerous type, of course, who get very quiet and very reasoned, and they kind of make you get drawn into what they're trying to get you to understand. Or sometimes when we're trying to get a point across, we repeat ourselves often. They say we have to hear something 7 times before we actually learn it. That number will come up again, obviously, today. And perhaps that's the best method, is to just keep saying it over and over again until finally it becomes part of you. Some people expand with examples. So, for instance, we're going to sing a new hymn that we've never sung at St. John's before, much to my surprise, called Bring Many Names. And we're doing that for the offertory. And it repeats, not just repeats, but expands our vision of God. It gives examples about how we can think of God in many different ways. And so that's another technique for getting someone to listen to something new, is to expand your horizons. Well, Jesus is really good at trying to get people to understand and to listen to him. And he uses 2 techniques today, and he uses them often. One, he tells a story. He uses a parable to get his point across. And the second is, he uses shock treatment. He uses hyperbole. He makes it wildly shocking so that people will actually stand up and notice what he's saying. He's trying to get one simple point across. Forgive. That's it. Forgive. You would think that would be easy. But if you have ever tried to forgive someone, you know it's not easy. It weighs heavily on us, doesn't it, when we need to forgive someone. And it is throughout all the world religions that it's an important, important thing to do. And in science and medical research, they have now virtually proven that unforgiveness, holding on to past hurts and resentments, deeply affects our emotional and physical health. So there's lots of evidence to support Jesus' claim to forgive. And he uses the best story he can think of this morning to get us to do that. You see, he has experienced and does experience the effects on individuals and communities when forgiveness doesn't happen. We've all seen it. We see it currently in our world and in our own lives. When the seeds of, like, bitterness are sown in our souls because we cannot forgive, and that fosters deep, deep painful wounds that are really hard for us to deal with, even worse than the thing that happened in the first place. And how many of you actually want to forgive? I don't see a lot of hands. But none. Right, we don't want to, do we? Because it's A, hard, and B, it is something we should do, and many of us do not respond well to should. And we try, and we don't often make the grade. So that doesn't encourage us to try again. We know that we ought to. We ought to do something. But we also have just that little bit of revenge, don't we? Please admit it with me. Yes, we all want to get that person back. Just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit. Even if it's to make them wait for our forgiveness. That's how we are. And we want to put conditions on forgiveness. Well, if you apologize, then I'll forgive you. That's what happens in this reading, isn't it? The servant who is forgiven by the Lord and Master is his big, huge debt, is unwilling to forgive the guy who has a little bit of debt that owes him. He's harboring the resentment, perhaps that he has a Lord and Master in the first place. Who knows what else he's harboring? But he will not forgive someone else. Absolutely not. There is no sense in his heart or his mind, the generosity and graciousness that has been shown to him. And so, of course, in the story, which is supposed to be shocking, well, he's turned over to be tortured. Absolutely. Until he pays everything. And Jesus said it'll be the same for each one of us. That's the shock treatment. Will it be the same for us? Probably not in actual reality in some sense, but yes, it will. Because we all know what it's like not to have done it. We all know that when we don't forgive someone else or ourselves, it does indeed fester and lead to torture and pain and alienation and hardness of heart. So what is it that we're supposed to do, this easy thing called forgiveness that needs to be repeated 77 times, minimum? It's to release. It's to let go. That's it. To release and let go. To say, you hurt me, I get that, but I need to just let that go. Now, there's a difference between forgiveness and actually not and denying our hurt. In fact, we actually cannot forgive someone until we recognize how badly we've been hurt. We have to understand what it is that has happened to us before we can actually let it go. Think of all the stories we hear with our Indigenous peoples. Right now, there's a group of Anglicans meeting in Pinawa and Manitoba discussing ways forward and hearing the stories again. Because we have to actually know what happened. We have to know what has hurt us before we can let it go. Before we can let the person who did it to us, if it's a person, or an organization, or an institution, or a system, we need to understand how it has affected us. And we can't minimize it, or ignore it, or gloss it over, because then it too just festers. And we pretend that we've forgiven, but we haven't, and it will come back. So we must fully acknowledge the negative impact of the action, or the behavior, or the attitude, or whatever it was. And that is hard, long work. And sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes our whole lives. But we are called to it. We are called as God's people to actually be aware. Forgiveness is also not about putting others on probation by saying, well, you did this, so we'll see. It's actually not an excuse for us to then be unjust, like today's slave. It's also not forgetting. It's important to remember why we needed to forgive in the first place. There's a difference between remembering and holding on to something. But it's really important, because if something has hurt us so deeply, there was an injustice of some kind, we can't forget that. The person who, or the organization or community who actually inflicted that pain, they are responsible for what they do for that and accountable for that. And we have ways in our communities of making sure that happens. But we must be able to remember things without holding it at the same time against people. We must never forget the Holocaust. We must never forget what society has done to Indigenous peoples all over the world. We must never forget ethnic cleansing or exploitation of children or mistreatment. We must remember, so that we may learn and forgive and release and not hold on to it, so that we repeat it. And hanging on to resentment and hurt, well, especially the stuff we've done to ourselves. That's the really hard one. That's the hardest thing at all to release, because nobody else really knows what those things are. Only you know, only I know, what our own demons are, the things that we don't forgive ourselves for. And so we need to offer those up as well, to be clear about them, to get some help with them if we need help, so that we can fully reconcile to ourselves. What's really interesting about today's gospel is that it's all about forgiveness and it's about choice. The Lord chose. When the slave chose to say, "I'm going to pay you back. I am going to pay you back. I am so sorry." The Lord and Master said, "Okay, I forgive you. I release you." You'll note in the gospel it says he is released. And he goes and earns the money and is supposed to pay him back. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And then he turns around and does the opposite. There's a lot of choice in there. Just as each one of us has a lot of choice about what we look at, how we approach it, how we release or forgive, and what we hold on to. But Jesus' message is clear. God wants you to let it go. God wants you to forgive. Don't hold on to it. Don't hurt yourselves. Don't hurt others. It's choice, like so many things in our gospel, which is good news for us, and it's also kind of hard work. So when we hear today of all these readings and all of the judgment that is in it, we need to remember that judgment is merely weighing. It's weighing the better over the worse. It's being checking it out, finding the balance, which is why there are scales on the front of the bulletin this morning. We don't use those anymore unless somebody has a set. I don't. Everyone has electronic things or something else. And we hardly weigh anything at all anymore, except maybe ourselves. Well, it's about that discrete decision we make when we are judging something. What will we let go? What will we hold on to? How will we do it? Who will help us? Will we let God forgive us? Will we remember that before we did everything we did that was wrong, God already had forgiven us and said, "I love you, I care for you, and I will show you the way to give this to others"? So maybe actually listen and learn through repetition, through story, through shock value, whatever it takes, through expanding our vision. Maybe learn what Jesus says this morning. Forgive. That's the way to have real life. Amen.